Hello, it's Misty Janerski, and I'm going to be doing day number 8 of my MXTXtober podfic prompts. And today's prompt is heartache. Now, once again, I have kind of cheated a little bit because basically no one writes anything with heartache in it. So I changed it to heartbreak because, it's kind of a little similar. And I think I found a really good fic about it. Though also, I mean, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to do two, but day number 9 is embrace, and this one has hugging in it. So it could be two in one. Maybe, because I don't really have time to record another one today. So maybe I'll just combine them into two, and then no one say anything. Shh, it's I make the rules, okay? Anyway, so the fic I have chosen is "In My Heart and On My Mind" by Sophia Helix. Summary: It's been a long, confusing night, and Wei Wuxian can't take any more. Hug privilege? He asks, his voice raising in pitch. You guys are talking about Lan Laoshu, right? Jingyi favors him with the kind of withering glance teens use to make adults feel like complete idiots. It works. You think he can't be kind to people just because you don't want to be hugged by him? Shh, Sijue says. Wei Laoshu isn't like that. It's none of our business. Hey, Wei Wuxian says, I like hugs. But these are heartbreak hugs, Zijian says. Obviously, Lan Laoshu is an expert in that, since he's really been there. Obviously. A modern AU. Wei Wuxian is stunned when he comes back from sabbatical to find that the fellow teacher Lan Jian is suddenly the school's unofficial relationship counselor, aka the heartbreak specialist remix. Author's notes: Thank you to CQL Orphan for writing such a fun story to remix. This is a loose modern times adaptation of the story. A la Clueless, though I've borrowed a few lines of dialogue. Some of the interactions between the juniors and adults feel very different in a more formal student-teacher context, so I've tried hard to keep things appropriate for the current day. Also, an M rating felt right for the story, but if you want a much hotter and more involved sex scene, please read the original ASAP. Thanks to Overthinking This and Some Items for Beta. And title from Everything Sucks When You're Gone by MXPX. Wei Wuxian's at his desk, marking up chemistry quizzes, a half-eaten apple at his elbow, and Vivaldi playing on his phone, when he catches the sight of Jingyi reaching for the door of Lan Jian's classroom across the hall. Lan Jian never allows students to eat lunch in his classroom. A lot must have changed in the semester he's been away. Just before he opens the door, Jingyi gives a furtive look around and catches sight of Wei Wuxian watching him. Instead of the smile Wei Wuxian expects, his old TA's face reddens and a sulky frown appears. Jingyi takes his hand off the doorknob with a guilty quickness, then crosses the hall, hitching his backpack higher on one shoulder with a resigned sigh. Wei Laoshu, he says, sounding reluctant, and slumps against the doorway. Good to see you too, Wei Wuxian says with a little laugh, and slashes his red pen through a wrong answer. What are you doing bothering Lan Laoshu at lunch? I thought he usually meditated and kept the door locked. Jingyi shrugs dramatically. Not anymore, which you'd know if you ever bothered to visit him. He's right across the hall, Wei Wuxian says, amused. Exactly, Jingyi snaps back and stomps away. Wei Wuxian is left staring after him with a puzzled frown. Has Jingyi been crying? If so, you'd think the classroom of the serene and unruffled Chinese teacher would be the last place he'd want to go. Shaking his head, Wei Wuxian caps his pen and pushes the chair away from his desk, reaching up to stretch. It's 3 days into the new school year. He can probably go visit Lanjian at last without seeming overly enthusiastic about it, or overly desperate. He's been teaching at this school for 5 years now, and he's gotten to be an expert in not acting desperate around Lanjian. Other faculty and staff throw themselves at him left and right, in a way that would be horribly embarrassing, except for the fact that Lanjian never really seems to notice. Calm and distant and beautiful, like a snowy mountain's reflection in a smooth sheet of water. He's the heartthrob of the school, and as far as Wei Wuxian can see, completely untouchable. Wei Wuxian used to try to rile him up when he first arrived, but a shared interest in classical Chinese music and the opportunity to sit and gaze at the most gorgeous man he's ever met overcame those juvenile impulses. He still likes to say things to make Lanjian quirk an eyebrow or twist his lips, but the privilege of just being near him usually keeps the teasing in check. He's happy just to have this much. Or he was, until last winter, when it suddenly seemed impossible to go another second keeping himself so carefully restrained, holding back the most hidden and tender outpourings of his heart. Deep into a bottle of wine on Christmas Eve, he admitted to himself that the old longing was getting to be too much to bear again. The constant ache, a distraction from his work, and even his private life. They never met except for school, and the loneliness of his apartment and even his cheerful social life just seemed like reminders that they'd live this way forever, nodding in the halls and sharing tea at lunch or a few words in the faculty lounge. Before he sobered up, Wei Wuxian fired off an email to Principal Nie, saying he was taking an overdue sabbatical, and in a few weeks found himself on an airplane headed anywhere but home. The wandering did him good, he thinks. He's refreshed, able to carry out his job duties and be the friendly, upbeat colleague Lanjian wants. Though, sometimes he's not even sure of that. He always feels loud and clumsy around Lanjian, forever saying the wrong thing when those amber eyes linger on him for too long, until it feels like his heart is a burning coal in his chest and his hands don't know what to do with themselves. He breaks the silence, or something on... He breaks the silence, or something on Lanjian's shelves by accidentally fiddling with it, and then the terrible pressure of the moment passes. When Wei Wuxian might have said something, and ruined even this fragile happiness forever. Today, he can manage himself. Wei Wuxian reaches down into his brown leather satchel and pulls out a small wrapped item, a souvenir from his travels this spring. It's not much, but he hopes it will make Lanjian smile. When he opens the door across the hall, he's surprised to see Lanjian already pouring out tea for two. "Lanjian," he exclaims, "am I interrupting something?" Lanjian shakes his head. He's wearing a white turtleneck over white linen trousers, with a soft, pale blue cashmere sweater, and his hair bound back in a short, silky ponytail at the nape of his long neck. After months away, he's the best thing Wei Wuxian has seen all year. "No," Lanjian says, "the tea is for you." Wei Wuxian steps further into the room and sees the desk is laid out using the usual fine china, painted in blues and whites, with his favorite almond cookies arranged on a plate on the side nearest to him. The tea is Lanjian's best, a pu'er, I think it's pu'er, that only comes out on special occasions. His throat goes tight. Cookies? You spoil me. Good, Lanjian says. Is that a faint smile curving his lips, or only a shadow? The room is dim, the usual gauzy white curtains draping the windows and the soft guqin music playing from a speaker. Wei Wuxian could lie down here and sleep for 100 years, preferably with his head in Lanjian's lap. Please, sit. They drink tea in silence for a few minutes, while Wei Wuxian feels knots and tensions he didn't even know he had uncurling in every part of his body. It's so soothing to be in Lanjian's space, clean and calm, as if he can steal a little of Lanjian's serenity for himself. He's so lucky Lanjian lets him have these moments, and he's missed them so much while he was away. I have a gift for you, Wei Wuxian says, remembering. He brings out the paper bag and hands it across the desk, wishing now he'd thought to gift wrap it. But the gift itself is silly, and maybe the crude wrapping adds to the joke, as Lanjian pulls out a tiny snow globe, the kind sold in every tourist shop in China, with a bit of ceramic Great Wall inside winding across a painted green plain. This time, Wei Wuxian is sure he sees a smile, if only because Lanjian tamps down his expression so firmly. Thank you, he says, formally. Wei Wuxian laughs. It's ridiculous, I know, but what could I bring you that you don't already have? I just wanted you to know I was thinking of you. He could snatch those words back as soon as he'd said them, and his cheeks go hot, hearing something so close to his real feelings hovering in the air. Lanjian doesn't need anyone thinking of him. He doesn't need anyone, period. He's a self-composed, self-sufficient scholar who grants Wei Wuxian a little of his time, and it's Wei Wuxian's job to be entertaining enough to earn it, not painfully sincere. There were worse souvenirs, he adds, quick and flippant. Clay soldier models, awful calligraphy on wall hangings, the ugliest paintings you've ever seen. Or maybe you'd have liked a bust of Mao? This is lovely, Lanjian says, setting the snow globe on the desk. Thank you. Wei Wuxian takes another sip of his tea. He's been to tea shops and pavilions across China, but nothing has ever tasted this good. The silence returns, lingering, and to stop himself saying something else embarrassing, he says, I saw Jingyi outside just now, I guess coming to see you. He seemed upset about something? Lanjian takes his time finishing his tea and sets his cup down, as if he's going to speak at length, but all he says is, it's to be expected at that age. Wei Wuxian raises an eyebrow. Lanjian is an excellent teacher, but he's never seemed to notice his students outside of their time in his classroom. What is? Being emotional, Lanjian says. Now Wei Wuxian laughs outright. Teenagers? Emotional? Who'd have thought? Lanjian says, picking up his cup again, and Wei Wuxian has the startling thought that Lanjian must have been a teenager himself once, but he couldn't have been as ruled by hormones and petty grievances and egotisms like Wei Wuxian remembers being. He must have been born this serene and unshakable. To his regret, Wei Wuxian realizes the lunch hour is almost finished, and with it, his tea. He raises his cup in Lanjian's direction. Thank you for this, he says, and lifts his cup higher, toasting. To warm welcomes. Lanjian regards him as calmly as ever, favoring him with a rare, lingering smile. It seems to take more of an effort than usual, though, and Wei Wuxian wonders what private concerns lie behind it. None of his business, of course, but he can't help wanting to know everything about Lanjian, all the time. "To long-awaited returns," Lanjian says, and Wei Wuxian's throat goes tight enough to choke him. It's only politeness, but as he quickly takes the last sip of tea, he finds himself back exactly where he was last winter, wishing with all his heart that those words meant more. Reader's note. Oh my gosh, I love this so far. And Wei Wuxian saying, I wonder how he was as a teenager. Oh. Although he tells himself he won't, the next day, Wei Wuxian stands up halfway through lunch, casually stretches like he's fooling himself, and goes across the hall to Lanjian's room. This time, though, Jingyi has seized his chance, because when Wei Wuxian opens the door, he's sitting beside Lanjian's desk, head in his hands, full on crying. He knows he should shut the door, but he can't help lingering just a moment, since neither of them has noticed him. Lanjian reaches out to pat Jingyi's back, saying, "Everything will be all right," in a soothing voice. Wei Wuxian barely has the time to register the unexpected warmth of the gesture, before Jingyi is straightening up and flinging himself at Lanjian, burying his tear-stained face right in the gorgeous white angora sweater covering Lanjian's shoulder with another sniffling sob. And Lanjian lets him? Lanjian lets him. Lanjian puts his arms around him. Lanjian hugs him. Briefly, before gently lifting the boy's head and setting it back, putting space between them again. But there was a definite embrace. Entirely appropriate and exactly the kind of thing Wei Wuxian would have done himself. Except this is Lanjian, who apparently hugs people now, when in all the years Wei Wuxian has known him, he's never so much as shaken hands. He stumbles backwards, closing the door too noisily in his confusion. Out in the hall, he rakes his fingers through his hair, at a loss for why the scene has him so unsettled. Lanjian is a good teacher, and he clearly cares for his students, almost as much as Wei Wuxian does. But he's always been at a remove from everyone, kind but distant, never involved in their messy emotional lives. Meanwhile, after years of being everyone's confidant, today, Wei Wuxian doesn't even know what Jingyi is upset about. And while he was gone, Lanjian has started hugging people. He's still reeling from it all when a voice from behind him asks, "Wei Laoshu?" When he turns, it's his favourite student of all, sweet, earnest Sidue, who's the only one signed up to TA for his classes this year. Wei Wuxian can't help relaxing into a grin, seeing his soft, friendly gaze. It's been wonderful to watch him grow up these last few years, and now, on the cusp of graduation, he looks older and more earnest than ever. "Sidue," he says, "how can I help you?" Sidue smiles back, a faint pinkness in his cheeks. "Actually, I came to ask Lan Laoshu something. I was hoping you'd move so I could open the door." "Oh," Wei Wuxian says, a sinking sensation in his chest. Just then, the door opens behind him, and he has to step aside quickly to avoid a collision. Jingyi slinks out, head down, and Wei Wuxian doesn't even have a chance to speak to him before he's speeding down the hall to the bathroom. "Lan Laoshu," Sidue says formally. "Sidue," Lanjian says, with the extra warmth he always seems to have for the boy. They aren't supposed to have favourite students, but no one could begrudge them the obvious mentorship they've always shared. He still looks serene and unperturbed, but Wei Wuxian sees his eyes follow Jing Yi before coming back.
Can I help you?
I'm on the committee for the back-to-school dance, Sijue says, looking even pinker than before. My counsellor said I needed to be more rounded. I was coming to ask if you'd be a chaperone tomorrow. He glances at Wei Wuxian and nods politely. And Wei Laoshi, too, if he would. Chaperoning dances is actually one of Wei Wuxian's favourite things. Seeing kids in what they think are their best clothes, getting up the nerve to ask each other to dance, the dark, sweaty, anxious thrill of it all. It's a blast from the past, and he's always enjoyed it. He's shared chaperone duties with Lan Jian before, too, and though he's never gotten up the courage to even jokingly ask for a dance, he cherishes the romantic undertones that are always there, tending the punch bowl with his crush while a slow song plays. It's probably the closest they'll ever get to a date. He turns to Lan Jian with a smile. How about it? Sounds like the perfect way to finish my first week back at school. But to his surprise, Lan Jian only frowns slightly, not even looking at him.
I have other things to attend to Friday night, he tells Sijue, but it sounds like Wei Laoshi is equal to the task.
Always, Wei Wuxian says, puzzled. What could Lan Jian be doing on a Friday night? But maybe it's an excuse. Maybe hanging out with a co-worker watching hormonal teenagers do TikTok dances isn't the most appealing activity. Thank you, Sijue says gratefully. Jinling and I... He stops.
Jinling is on the committee?
Lan Jian asks. Yes, Sijue says. It's a joint school event with Koi Towers Prep. If possible, he's even pinker than before.
And Jing Yi knows this?
Lan Jian presses. Yes, Sijue says. He's coming to the dance, he says. He just doesn't want to help plan it. Wei Wuxian feels like he's losing his mind, watching them communicate silently. Something is obviously going on, but he's outside the loop entirely, and neither of them is letting him in.
Good, Lan Jian says, finally. It would be a good thing for him to attend. Will I see you during my afternoon preparation period?
Yes, Sijue says, with another of his polite nods, and then continues down the hall. Wei Wuxian wants to ask a million questions, including what Lan Jian is doing Friday night, but he confines himself to, what's up with Jing Yi?
He will be fine,
Lan Jian says. At last he turns to look at Wei Wuxian, but his expression has none of the warmth it did for either of the students.
Were you coming to my room for a reason?
One of those hot, desperate, unbearable moments when Wei Wuxian has the irresistible urge to answer that question with exactly the truth. Or even a teasing version of it. Yes, I was coming to ask you to be my date to the back-to-school dance. Will you go with me? But instead, he bites his tongue until the wild impulse passes and answers like a responsible adult. No reason. Wondering if you had any more of those almond cookies. At last, Lan Jian favours him with a small smile.
I do, but I think the lunch hour has passed, so it will have to be another day.
As he speaks, the bell rings, and students come pouring into the halls, banging lockers and shouting to each other. Wei Wuxian smiles back amidst the chaos, and retreats across the hall to his own classroom, thinking about how there was something strange and new in Lan Jian's eyes once again, where the smile didn't quite reach. It's a good thing Wei Wuxian has totally given up on keeping current with the music the kids like, because he has literally no idea what he's listening to now. He could look it up on his phone, but it will inevitably be by a singer he's never heard of, who's already gone multi-platinum, and then the students will tease him for being old and behind the times, and play it every day before class, so he gets to like it just in time for it to not be cool anymore. Better to just let go. Better to just let go and admit he's permanently behind the times. For all that... Oh gosh, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry, I managed to... I stopped it. For all that, school dances never change very much. Clumps of students, mostly segregated by gender, are gyrating to whatever music this is, with the fog machine going and the lights low in the gym, shoes piled along the walls to keep the floors unmarked. The girls are dressed nicer than the boys by several orders of magnitude, and since there's been several fast songs in a row, Wei Wuxian can feel the pressure building, as the kids all eye each other for potential partners for the inevitable slow song. He's happy to be back here behind the snack table, letting Jin Zixun and Principal Nye keep order on the dance floor. Once the slow song starts, they'll more than have their hands full. Familiar voices move behind him, and Wei Wuxian turns his head just enough to see Sijue talking with his nephew, who must be visiting from the private school across town. Wei Wuxian perks up curiously, remembering A Ling being a subject of conversation between Sijue and Lan Jian earlier, and sidles closer to catch what they're saying. "If you really like him, give him time," Sijue is saying. "Think about how he feels." "It's been a week," A Ling says petulantly. "What if someone else moves in first?" Sijue shakes his head. "Are you worried about someone else, or are you worried about his feelings? I thought you liked him." "Yeah, and I don't want him dating someone else." "Come on, I'm trying to help you," Sijue snaps, uncharacteristically cross. "He only talked to Lan Laoshi yesterday. He's not ready to move on yet." "Oh, all right," A Ling says, like that explains everything. "I'll wait for Lan Laoshi's magic to work." With a start, Wei Wuxian understands that they must have been talking about Jing Yi, who was in Lan Jian's room yesterday. "A Ling likes Jing Yi. It's hard to imagine how that one will work out. It's only when the boys move off that he realizes they're talking about Lan Jian, like he's some kind of expert in all this. Since when did Lan Jian become a relationship counselor? Since he started hugging people, Wei Wuxian supposes, but the thought isn't as amusing as it was before. He turns back to the table, rearranging bags of chips into neater lines, just as the song on the PA fades out and something with a slow, heavy tempo comes up. "You know what time it is," the DJ says. His voice deep and smooth. "Oh, you know what time it is," the DJ says, his voice deep and smooth. And the kids respond with mingled cheers and groans. Half of them head towards the bathrooms, and Wei Wuxian snacks, and he's too busy mediating the orderly distribution of food to realize another set of familiar voices has come up behind him on the other side. "Dude, don't," says a boy, who he manages with a sidelong glance to identify as Zijian. "It's too soon." "Just like, as a friend?" whines a voice that's unmistakably Jing Yi. "She said we could still be friends." "They always say you can still be friends," Zijian exclaimed. "Seriously, you're never going to get over her like this." Jing Yi sighs, heavily enough to be heard over the swooning music dipping and swaying overhead. "I know," Zijian says more kindly. "When you see them all this time, it's super hard. When you see them all the time, it's super hard, like Lan Laoshi says. I was going crazy about Yu Tian last year, until I switched my math section to the afternoon so I didn't see her anymore. And I don't know how Lanlausher stands it, especially now that he's back. But it's like you said, you just have to keep walking the right path and eventually you'll be free of these feelings. Lanlausher doesn't seem to be free of his, Jingyi says moodily. Yeah, but that's why he's always giving us advice on how to do better than him. At least don't ask your ex to slow dance 3 days after she dumped you, okay? Wei Wuxian doesn't hear Jingyi's answer, his attention pulled aside by a fight over the last bag of chips, and the boys are gone when he turns around again. The slow song is ending, bringing all the kids back onto the dance floor. And now he doesn't have anything to distract himself from the wild thought. And now he doesn't have anything to distract himself from the wild thoughts spinning through his head. The kids seem to know an entirely different version of Lanjian than the one he's known for the last 5 years. Have things really changed so much in the time he's been away? Or was he always missing something? The rest of the dance passes in a blur, as the gym fills with the funk of sweaty, shoeless teens and the boxes of snacks under the table empty out. Wei Wuxian doesn't enjoy the operatic chaos of it all like he has in the past, and when the lights finally come back up, his back is aching and he's exhausted, ready to go home and be alone with his thoughts. He starts clearing up the trash from the table and looks up to see Sijwei on the other side, untaping the paper tablecloth and balling it up to throw in the trash. That was a good dance, Wei Wuxian says, making himself speak brightly. The kid has worked hard. Your committee did a great job. Sijwei is joined by the three other boys, even though A Ling just hangs at the back, not helping and giving his uncle a quick lifted chin of recognition. Wei Wuxian lifts his chin back, stifling a laugh at his nephew's overly cool demeanour. I didn't see much of you guys this week, Wei Wuxian says, flattening a cardboard box. Did you eat lunch somewhere else now? Do you eat lunch somewhere else now? He's proud of how normal his voice sounds, not portraying any of the hurt he felt at his empty classroom this week. His fault, he supposes, for going away. Kids change allegiances so fast, and they'll be graduating in a few months anyway. He still misses their laughter and silly games, and even the frantically scribbled homework they'd turn in the following period. We eat with Lanlausher sometimes, when he lets us, Zijian says. I was going to go on Monday. Zijian, Sijwei says with a warning tone, if you fake a breakup again just to get a hug from Lanlausher. Yeah, come on, Jingyi says, disgusted. You can't abuse the hug privilege. It's been a long, confusing night, and Wei Wuxian can't take any more. Hug privilege? He asks, his voice raising in pitch. You guys are talking about Lanlausher, right? Jingyi favours him with the kind of withering glance teens use to make adults feel like complete idiots. It works. You think he can't be kind to people just because you don't want to be hugged by him? Shh, Sijwei says. Wei Laoshi isn't like that. It's none of our business. Hey, Wei Wuxian says. I like hugs. But these are heartbreak hugs, Zijin says. Obviously, Lanlausher is an expert in that, since he's really been there. Obviously. He speaks with some mysterious emphasis, looking right at Wei Wuxian, and Sijwei hurries in. Heartbreak, rejection, disappointment, whatever, he says with an earnest look over the top of his glasses. He's an expert in how to be happy with what you have. Because he's happy. Or, well, as happy as he can be. There's a pause, and suddenly Wei Wuxian gets it with awful clarity. Lanjian's strange distance and fragility, the way he seemed to have something else on his mind whenever they've spoken, someone hurt him. Someone rejected him. Wei Wuxian went away, and Lan Jian went and fell in love with someone who broke his heart. Of all the awful, cruel, horrible things to do, someone turned down the chance to be with Lan Jian, to touch him and kiss him and make him happy for the rest of their lives.
Wei Laoshi?
Zijian says, and Wei Wuxian realizes he's crushing an empty paper cup in his hand, crumpling it until his knuckles turn white. He opens his fist, letting the cup fall.
Who?
He manages. Who rejected Lan Jian?
Too late. He realizes he should have said Lan Laoshi. And moreover, that these kids probably have no idea of the details of Lan Jian's personal life, but they're looking between each other like the answer is self-evident. For an awful minute, no one speaks, and Wei Wuxian feels a cascade of embarrassment pouring down over him at having said too much. Finally, Aling crosses his arms and sighs,
"You, Jojo, who else did you think?"
If he'd punched Wei Wuxian directly in the solar plexus, he couldn't have winded him any more thoroughly. Wei Wuxian gasps like a fish for a moment, gripping the edge of the table until he's able to exhale in a shaky laugh.
"Me?" he asks, weakly, and then clears his throat. "When have I ever rejected Lan Jian, Lan Laoshi, for anything?"
"Many, many, many times," Jing Yi says, deadpan.
"Yeah, we were there for some of them," Zijian cuts in.
"And I keep hearing about them," Aling says.
"The time your air conditioning broke and he offered to let you stay with him," Jing Yi says.
"I couldn't impose," Wei Wuxian says.
"The time he asked you to dance at junior prom," Zijian says.
"That was a joke," Wei Wuxian says. "Right? One of Lan Laoshi's many famous jokes."
"When he asked you if you wanted a traveling companion or on your sabbatical," Sijui says, sounding apologetic. "And you said something about seeing if any pop idols were free."
"Oh my god," Wei Wuxian says, because he remembers that day at a local cafe over winter break. They'd met with Sijui to discuss placements for his summer internship, and Wei Wuxian had taken the opportunity to break the news about leaving for sabbatical the following week. It had been cowardly, because he wanted Lan Jian to know, but couldn't think of any other pretext for a meeting before he left. And he'd nearly choked on his tea when Lan Jian asked, calmly, about whether he wanted a travelling companion.
"He wasn't serious," Wei Wuxian says now, gazing frantically between four expressions, ranging from exasperated Aling to careful sympathy from Sijue. "I was leaving in a couple days. He didn't really mean..." He trails off, memories pouring back in. The heat he'd felt, the way he'd scrambled for a suitably flippant answer, so Lan Jian didn't know how desperately he wanted to say, "Yes, travel the world with me. Or better yet, let's just stay right here together forever." Now he should force a laugh, bringing this back to more appropriate territory. Kids shouldn't be speculating about their teachers, especially not when their ideas are so far off the mark. But instead, he just says, plaintively, "You guys really think I'd turn down Lan Jian over and over like that? Why?"
"Ugh, who knows," Jing Yi says.
"No one gets it. I heard there used to be a betting pool on you two, but the people who started it graduated without anyone winning." Of all the stupid things, this is what stings Wei Wuxian the most. "People bet on us?"
"Not me," Jing Yi says, the disgust back in his voice. "Not after all the times you left him hanging. I used to be so mad."
"It's true, he did," Zijian says.
"And then you went away, and I thought..." Yeah, this is Jing Yi, I think. "And then you went away, and I thought that was probably a good thing for him, right?
Maybe he could take his own advice. Maybe he could take his own advice and get over you. But then you show up again this week, and nope, he's gazing at you like he always does.
Lanjian, Wei Wuxian says dumbly, gazing.
Wei Laoshe, Sijue says gently, I think they can handle the rest of the cleanup here. Can you help me take these bags out to the dumpster?
He hands a big black trash bag back to Wei Wuxian, and together they cross the gym to the open back doors, hauling several bags between them. The cool night air feels good on Wei Wuxian's face, but it can't extinguish the furious heat that's pounding in his chest, or soothe the riot of images in his mind. Calm, serene, untouchable Lanjian, gazing, pining, hurting, all because of him. The dumpster is at the back of the gym, and he reaches up to flip open the lid, taking the first bag from Sijue. The boy is watching him with a careful sort of kindness, and Wei Wuxian forces a smile, trying to reassure him. From Sijue's reaction, however, the result must be a complete failure.
Wei Laoshe, don't listen to those guys, he says. Lan Laoshe is fine. He, could be a lot happier, but he's not unhappy now.
Does he think... Has he said... Wei Wuxian says, trying desperately to sound like an adult.
Never, Sijue says, firmly, handing over the next bag. It's all just stuff the students talk about. But, you know, he seems compelled to add, it's not hard to figure out from the way he looks at you. And, all the other stuff.
Yeah, Wei Wuxian says heavily. He tosses the last trash bag into the dumpster and lets the lid fall shut with a clang. I guess I've been kind of clueless, huh?
Sijue tightens his lips, seeming to consider something, and then speaks.
You should do whatever you want, Wei Laoshe, he says, very formal and correct. But maybe think about what Lan Laoshe wants too. He's made it pretty obvious. I mean, even people like Zijian and Jingyi have figured it out, and they're really dumb about stuff like this.
Stuff like what? Wei Wuxian can't resist asking.
Sijue cocks his head. If you really don't know, I think you'd better ask him.
After the dance, Wei Wuxian walks all night, hands shoved deep in his pockets, his head as empty as he can make it, just trying to outpace this feeling in his bones, that he'd been making a mistake, that he's made a public fool out of himself, that he's hurt the person he cares about most in the world. It's a lot to handle on a Friday night. As the sun rises, he finds himself in a familiar neighborhood on the other side of town. He dropped Lanjian here once, carpooling after a school event, even though it was nowhere near his own apartment. He can't forget the tiny, neat house with its little strip of well-tended garden, the clean blue siding, or the friendly white-painted front door. He circles the block, telling himself he's going somewhere else, until finally he finds himself climbing the two trim wooden steps to the tidy porch. Slight reader's note, sorry, when I saw climbing, I like instantly thought he was climbing Lanjian's fence to like break into his house. But he's not, he's going up the steps like a normal person, so I'm glad. Lanjian always has early morning yoga classes. At least the Lanjian he used to know. Maybe everything has changed now, and Lanjian does Pilates, or swims, or exercises at night. Anything is possible in this new upside-down world. Wei Wuxian realizes his thoughts are getting a little hysterical, and maybe he could use a rest after his long night. There's a seat on the porch, a low stool with a thick cushion, and he sinks onto it, back against the wall, and closes his eyes. Whether Lanjian is inside the house or somewhere else, he has to pass by here eventually, Wei Wuxian can't think beyond that. A horrible, heavy infinity blinks by in no time at all. One moment, Wei Wuxian is closing his eyes, feet stretched out on the first, into the first creep of sun across the boards of the porch floor, and the next he's drenched in full sunlight, mouth dry as he blinks up at Lan Jian's looming, beloved, unexpected silhouette.
Wei Ying, Lan Jian is saying, have you had breakfast?
Wei Wuxian barely even remembers what breakfast is. He lurches forward, grabbing Lan Jian's hand, and just stares. Lan Jian is gripping back, palm and fingers large and warm, and Wei Wuxian feels exactly the same as he always does, like his individual parts could dissolve into chaos as long as they could keep holding hands just like this. He realizes Lan Jian is still waiting for an answer.
No breakfast, he says, not adding that he can't remember the last time he ate.
Lan Jian smiles at him, gentle and quiet like a fall of snow.
Come inside.
Wei Wuxian sits on Lan Jian's couch, clutching a mug of tea and waiting for Lan Jian to bring him food. How has he never been inside Lan Jian's house before? No reason to do it, he supposes. They meet at school or rare events outside of it, and Lan Jian's never asked him over. Wei Wuxian has always stopped just short of inviting himself, and with a shock he realizes that's exactly what he just did, falling asleep on Lan Jian's porch like that.
But everything is different now, right? Right?
He glances around the small living room, taking things in to distract himself from what exactly he's doing here. Lan Jian's furniture is low, wooden, and lovely, draped with pale blue and green like his classroom windows. The room is filled with light, and the shelves with beautiful objects, and in yesterday's black jeans and crumpled band t-shirt, hair pulled back in an unbrushed ponytail, Wei Wuxian feels like a dirty sock mixed in with someone else's laundry. How could he ever imagine Lan Jian might return his feelings?
Your house is really nice, he calls out to stop his thoughts. How do you keep it so clean?
Lan Jian appears in the doorway from the kitchen, carrying a plate full of fresh fruit and two covered bowls.
I like to take care of the things that matter to me.
Ah, Wei Wuxian says. He straightens up, moving from the couch to the floor as Lan Jian sets the tray on the table between them.
Lan Jian, this looks amazing. The porridge must take forever.
It's my usual weekend breakfast,
Lan Jian says, setting himself on the floor on the other side of the table.
I always make extra.
Well, it beats a bowl of cereal, Wei Wuxian says, mouth full as he digs in. They're silent for a while, eating in the sun-filled room. Lan Jian is still wearing his clothes from yoga, a loose white shirt over tan leggings and a white sweatband around his brow. He should probably smell bad, or at least look sweaty, but instead he just glows. Like the most gorgeous man Wei Wuxian's ever seen, which he is.
How was the dance last night?
Lan Jian asks, politely.
Good, Wei Wuxian says. Fine. It was fine.
Lan Jian says, with a slight lift of his brows, like he wants to know more, but doesn't want to ask. Maybe the idea that Lan Jian thinks there's anything in the world Wei Wuxian wouldn't tell or give him in a heartbeat sends the same chaotic heat from last night crashing through him. He doesn't know if it's true. It can't be true. But the idea of letting Lan Jian be hurt is too awful to let stand, no matter the cost if he's wrong.
The kids, Wei Wuxian starts to say and stops. They're good kids. A little hormonal and prone to horrible choices. Did you know my nephew has a crush on Jingyi?
And maybe they get things wrong, but they think, well... Lanjian just looks at him, eyes widening, waiting. Wei Wuxian reaches up and scratches the back of his head. They tell me you're the expert on heartbreak, he says, taking a different tack. Or rejection, whatever. I've seen you giving out hugs. They look like great hugs. And, you know, I like hugs too. He trails off again.
Do you?
Lanjian says. He moistens his lips.
Do you want a hug?
No, Wei Wuxian exclaims. Well, yes, but that's not the point. I mean, heartbreak. They say you all know about it. They say you know all about it. And I didn't know. I'm sorry, I never... Is that true? Are you heartbroken? Lanjian is silent, looking like he's carefully considering the words. Which isn't new, but this is the most time Wei Wuxian's ever seen him take before speaking.
I would not consider myself heartbroken, he says at last. Disappointed, yes. I wish that things were otherwise than they are.
Oh, no, Wei Wuxian says with dismay. That's terrible. You should have everything you want, Lanjian. For a moment, they just stare at each other, as the heat burns and burns in Wei Wuxian's chest. Finally, he speaks, because he's the one who started this, and he has to know. The thing is, he says, low, I didn't think I was heartbroken either, until last night. And then they told me you were heartbroken, because of me. It costs him everything in the world to keep focus on Lanjian's amber eyes without looking away. He licks his dry lips and continues hoarsely. The kids said I rejected you, many, many, many times. And maybe they're wrong, but if not, I swear I didn't know, Lanjian. If I'd known, I'd have said yes to anything you ever asked me, because you're what I want most in the world. The silence in the room is so loud, his ears are ringing with it. But Lanjian hasn't stopped looking at him, or told him he was wrong, or asked him to leave. And surreal as it is, Wei Wuxian has to dare just a little bit more. He moves around the edge of the table, coming to kneel right next to Lanjian, and reaches for his hands. To his thrilling shock, Lanjian lets him take them, still looking at him like he's in a trance. Lanjian, he murmurs, did you really mean I should stay here when my air conditioning was broken?
Of course,
Lanjian says. And when you asked me to dance at the junior prom last year, that was real? That wasn't a joke?
Of course,
Lanjian says. Wei Wuxian swallows hard. When I told you I was going on sabbatical, did you really mean you'd come with me?
Anywhere you go, I would follow if you asked,
Lanjian says. He has to shut his eyes for one tremulous moment. When he opens them, there's a bright sheen in Lanjian's eyes. Wei Wuxian forces himself to ask one more question. If you refused me, I would be disappointed, he whispers. But Lanjian, what would really break my heart is if I found out I'd broken yours.
How can you break what belongs to you?
Lanjian asks. Wei Wuxian makes a sound halfway between a laugh and a cry, feeling pierced right through. A tear spills over from Lanjian's eye, and without thinking, he reaches out to catch it with a fingertip. Lanjian wraps his hand around Wei Wuxian's, drawing it flat against his cheek, holding him there. As though all the strength has gone out of him, Wei Wuxian pitches forward, dropping his forehead against Lanjian's temple. For a few minutes, they just breathe together, hands clasped tight, a wild happiness thrumming between. Then Wei Wuxian gathers his courage again, reaching for just a little more joy. "Lanjian," he murmurs, lips brushing against his ear. "Can I kiss you?" He feels Lanjian pulling back, turning his head, and for a moment despair swoops into the pit of his stomach. But there's a dark, yearning heat in Lanjian's eyes, and he slides his hand forward to cradle Wei Wuxian's face, touch delicate as a butterfly.
"Yes,"
Lanjian breathes, or maybe he only thinks it, because it's like a tide sweeping in as Wei Wuxian leans towards him, a force between them he's powerless to resist. The first kiss is sweet, the second sharp, Lanjian's teeth an unexpected pressure against his lip. All the kisses after that are hot and hungry and loving and lingering, no markers between where they end and begin. Wei Wuxian doesn't know why they've ever done anything else. They reach for each other, desperate, each daring a little further in turn, hands slipping beneath shirts, wet kisses moving lower, bringing out low, shocked groans of pleasure. The heat builds quick and bright like a wildfire, until Wei Wuxian finds himself lying back on the floor with his jeans yanked down, and Lanjian's arms braced around his hips as he leans in.
"Lanjian,"
Wei Wuxian gasps, hands tight in Lanjian's hair, as if anything could make Lanjian's mouth on him less stunning, less overwhelming, less life-changing. Somehow, they make it up off the floor after that. Lanjian's bedroom is even more beautiful than his living room, and Wei Wuxian couldn't care less. They roll over and over, drowning in kisses and the sensation of warm, bare skin pressed together, clothes disappearing in a tangle on the floor. Lanjian is below him, and then Lanjian is above him, knees spread wide and the lean, muscled length of his body so beautiful as he moves down.
"Oh, I'm not gonna... I can't..."
Wei Wuxian chokes into the bend of his own elbow, like he didn't just come in Lanjian's mouth out on the living room floor 5 minutes ago. But this slick, hot, new perfection is something else entirely, his hands restless on Lanjian's hips, aching to touch everything to stop himself from feeling so much. He comes again with Lanjian beneath him, Lanjian's sweat, slick thighs wrapped around him, and Lanjian's cum sliding between them, as he thrusts hard and gasps into the lovely curve of Lanjian's throat. In the tingling silence after, Wei Wuxian feels infinite, their consciousness mingled and spread, racing through this bright dawn he hopes is just the first of so many more ahead. Inevitably, he sleeps, claimed by it like a spell. The sun is low in the sky when he wakes up again, and it takes him a while to remember the warm weight in bed with him is Lanjian, and even longer to realize the strangeness of that.
"Lanjian," he murmurs, "shouldn't you be up, doing things? You're not a lazy lie-abed like me."
"Not lazy," Lanjian says, from close by.
"Lanjian, close by, in bed with him."
"I just don't want to waste any time with you."
"Well," Wei Wuxian says, teasing, "we do see each other at school every day."
"Not anymore," Lanjian says, "since you prefer to spend your lunch hours doing work now."
"Since I what?" Wei Wuxian says.
"You told us," Lanjian says, "Sijui and me, when you informed us you were going on sabbatical. You said you were going to be more serious about your work when you returned. No more social lunch hours, you said."
"Oh my god," Wei Wuxian says,
because he did say that at the terrible cafe meeting last year, when he was trying to make his sabbatical sound like a reasonable professional choice, rather than the last resort of a desperate man. Is that why I haven't seen you, or any of the boys?
We wanted to give you your space, Lanjian says, and they had grown accustomed to eating with me.
Well, I never want to work through lunch again, Wei Wuxian says firmly. If I've ever done it before, it was just to distract myself from the pain of what seemed like unrequited love.
Unrequited what?
Lanjian says, suddenly freezing up. You didn't let me be alone often before, Wei Wuxian admits, but this last week was hell. We'll spend every lunch hour hand in hand from now on, and I don't care if it makes the kids sick to see how soppy in love we'll be. He turns his head onto the pillow and is shocked to see tears streaming down Lanjian's face. Speechless, he reaches out, hand hovering and unsure. What is it? Wei Wuxian whispers.
In love?
Lanjian asks, voice choked.
You're in love with me?
Of course, Wei Wuxian stammers. What did you think? What did I say this morning? Did I not... Oh, fucking hell.
I didn't know,
Lanjian breathes. You thought this was just a one-night stand to me? Wei Wuxian demands. You'd take that from me? Eyes still bright, Lanjian shrugs.
I'd take whatever you have to give me.
The pure, heartfelt sincerity of it hits Wei Wuxian harder than anything else has today. Lanjian, so good and so kind, settling for so little when he deserves so much. Wei Wuxian is exhausted and in love, and all he can do is bury his face in the curve of Lanjian's neck again, snuffling against his chest. I'd give you anything, he says, indistinctly, as Lanjian's arms come up around him. I love you. I love you. Let's never be apart again, okay? Christ, I feel so stupid. Lanjian's arms pull tighter, and Wei Wuxian sighs into his throat, luxuriating in the feel of his embrace.
Not stupid,
Lanjian says gently. But perhaps we could both be better at using our words. Wei Wuxian lifts his head, a waterlogged laugh in his throat. I got my hug, he says with a sniffle. The kids are right. You're really great at this.
I'm really great at a few other things,
Lanjian says, and spends the rest of the day showing Wei Wuxian exactly what he means. Monday afternoon at lunch, Jingyi shows up in Lanjian's classroom, trudging through the door and letting it bang behind him. He glances up to meet Wei Wuxian's eyes, then looks away again, twisting his lips.
There you are, he mutters.
Here I am, Wei Wuxian agrees, and takes another bite of the lunch Lanjian prepared for them this morning.
Sijui says,
Jingyi says, and stops, sighing heavily.
He says I should say sorry for, I don't know, whatever I said at the dance.
Apology accepted, Wei Wuxian says.
I shouldn't have said that stuff, Jingyi says to the floor. Sijue says it's none of my business, and anyway, you...
He stops, looking up, and suddenly seems to register Wei Wuxian and Lanjian sitting on the same side of the desk, hands entwined as they eat lunch.
Oh, I guess you... Oh.
Apology accepted, Wei Wuxian says again, gaily. Did you need anything else?
No,
Jingyi says slowly, like he's thinking. The wheels in his head are almost audibly turning.
Wei Laoshi.
I'll see you next period, Jingyi, Wei Wuxian says. Unless you'd like to stay?
With a wicked smile, he turns his head, inclining it towards Lan Jian's face, while never taking his eyes off Jing Yi. No, Jing Yi fairly yelps. I'll see you next period, he says, and rushes out of the door. Wei Wuxian laughs. Do you think he and my nephew will ever figure things out?
I think it is none of our concern, Lan Jian says, low and near to his mouth.
Lan Jian, has the heartbreak specialist retired?
For good, I hope,
Lan Jian murmurs, and leans in to finish the promised kiss. They kiss for a long time, until it loses the flavour of lunch and becomes just them. Wei Wuxian lays down his chopsticks and puts his hands on Lan Jian's cheek, smiling against his mouth. They shouldn't be doing this at school, and they won't after today. But just for now, he wants to revel in it forever. The healing of two hearts, and the untangling of things that were wrong, and the promise of forever before them. The end. Oh, also, I didn't realize this, but this work has a chapter 2, and it has some, like, really, really amazing art by a light but happy pen, I think. But if you go to the original work and you go to chapter 2, there's like a really beautiful picture of a drawing of Wei Ying and Lan Jian, and they're like really close, and Wei Ying has his hand on Lan Jian's cheek and he's like holding his hand, and it says, "Can I kiss you?" So I'm guessing it's a drawing of the just before they, well, as they get together. But I highly recommend you go and look at it, because it's beautiful. And I only just realized, but anyway, I will proceed with my notes of the story. Reader's note. Oh my gosh. That was so good. That was like a perfect, like, well-rounded story. I think the pacing of this was really well done, where you get the little bit of intro to how they knew each other before, and then kind of realizing and kissing. Also, this was my first time reading any kind of like explicitness. I don't know if I didn't really go into it thinking I would, but I was kind of, I'd already read like quite a bit when I realized, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go for it. And it wasn't too explicit, but yeah, I think that was just a really cute story, them getting together, misunderstandings like always, and I love the juniors. I don't know if I've read a fic with the juniors in it before. I love them when we got a bit of Jinling, Jingyi, pre-relationship, I'm guessing. But yeah, this was really cute. And I think I will do this for it was MXTXtober prompt number 8 and number 9 for both heartache and embrace. And I feel like both of those words really fit this story. This is like a perfect story to podfic. But yeah, so thank you all so much for listening. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day. And if you enjoyed the fic, please, please go back to the original author and give them kudos/comments. And thank you again to Sophia Helix for giving blanket permission to podfic their works. And yeah, I will see you all tomorrow for my next prompt.